Roque, we're a public hearing. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is time and place for a public hearing on two proposed ordinances, both dealing with mobile home, or excuse me, manufactured home type structures as temporary buildings, and also regarding manufactured homes and manufactured housing. We will have, we can do the first, we will have two separate hearings, but my presentation as to the procedures be just the one time. And if anyone desires to speak on this after Ms. Cornwell and Mr. Robertson give a presentation and council has a chance to question, if anyone does want to speak, come forward, give your name and address, and make your comment. After that, the council can close the public hearing and close the public record. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. The first ordinance is regarding manufactured homes. We've had a number of items come up regarding manufactured homes of late, so we've looked at the code. What this does is allows for multi-sectional, double-wides, triple-wides to be located on parcels of land. Currently, the code is 3/4 acre for the minimum lot size. However, there are a number of lots within the AR1 zoning district, and again, this only impacts the AR1 zoning district, that are smaller than that. So this would allow a manufactured home to be, a multi-sectional be placed on those smaller lots than is currently there. It also recognizes that currently, if there's never been a manufactured home on that property, that currently it's the code requires that it can't be more than 5 years old. The proposed ordinance is to change that to 10 years old to recognize that. We also had some clarifying items regarding the Board of Adjustment and those sections of code, so we removed those to remove any inconsistency with the code to recognize that. The Planning and Zoning Commission did hold a public hearing on October 1st. At that time, they did recommend approval of the proposed ordinance. We did receive testimony that, and we do have, if you so desire to approve the ordinance, there would be one amendment. At the time it was drafted, there was another section of code regarding convalescent homes that was being removed from the code, but when we were redrafting it, it was still in the code. So we just need to recognize that that has actually been removed because of the timing of how the code gets updated. It was still in the code when we drafted that, so we just need to verify. Again, it doesn't change the context of the code. It has nothing to do with the manufactured homes. It's just a cleanup to clarify that that is no longer part of the code. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
I would assume that no matter how many sections are going to be in these buildings, they still got to meet all setbacks.
Yes, they'd have to meet setbacks. They have to be constructed in accordance with the HUD requirements. They have to be placed with a proper permit. They get inspected. They have to meet all of the county requirements.
At least 3/4 acre, right?
This would make that so it does not have to be 3/4 acre. It could just be an existing lot that already exists within the AR1 zoning district.
The resources won't go for that.
There are natural, DENREC can permit, if it's on septic, a waiver down to a smaller lot. They do that for some of the smaller lots that do exist in the county.
We came agreement to natural resources that said it'd be okay.
They'd have to get approval from them before they could issue that, but that would be for any type of house that would be placed on a lot that is less than 3/4 acre.
I haven't got away with that yet.
Not that you can try to get away with anything.
I did try.
You did? Okay, I was checking.
I tried to get back to make a little smaller lot. Why use it?
Are there any other? Oops, sorry. I apologize, Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Burton?
Everything else flows. We're just removing the 3/4 acres, but they still, if they need a septic feasibility, they got to get that, even though they're pulling one out and putting another one in.
So the 3/4 acre is for a new one. So if you have a vacant parcel of land and you wanted to place a new home, the minimum lot size had to be 3/4 acre for a manufactured home. That's not the requirement for a stick-built home, but it is for the manufactured. So this lot size requirement is going to follow the requirements for a stick-built home. But they still have to get all their approvals, DLDOT, Conservation District, DENREC if it's on septic.
Which they currently do now.
Correct.
We're just reducing
the size of the lot requirement and the age of the lot of the manufactured home.
Okay.
More questions?
If not, Is there anyone public that would like to speak, please? I see Mr. Kramer coming forward.
All right. Reason that screen is up there so you can follow me. On this page, on line 41, you'll see where the 3/4 acre is. And by the way, Sam Wilson, you were around here. How many trailers do you own?
About 21.
All right. Back in the day, when they changed this at one time, and it's basically part of it is in here, you could not put any trailer anywhere on more 5 acres or more. You had double wide, I don't care what kind of trailer it was. You had to have 5 acres or more. You couldn't put on anything less. And at some point, the Democrats came along and said, wait a minute, the houses are now being better built, better shining, and we are now going to allow double wides to be placed anywhere you could build a house. And I'm not too sure where they got all these figures from. But then let's go to line 44, actually 45, where it says lot within a major subdivision, and this portion or is not specifically prohibited by recorded covenants, that's being taken out. Why is that specifically prohibited by recorded covenants? Why is that taken out?
We'll find out.
I hope you do. Then you go to line 48 and is removed. Line 57, 58, B is removed. So that B up there is actually removed and becomes either A1 or AC, whatever. Then you go down to the five or 10 years, take the 5 out and put in 10 years. And then there's a few other things. The manufactured home used single house, single family on line 82 is all removed down to 87. And that was prior to 97 as permitted, less than 5 acres. Now, you keep on going.
So you get to. There still have to be 150 foot front?
I don't know. That's the problem. If you don't have 150 foot frontage, I can guarantee you some of these trailers will never fit. Because if they're too, particularly if you're going to go sideways, you want your front at front. If you're going to go long ways, yeah, you can have it there. But if it's not, then you go to line 180, and number 4, it says that the 4 is taken out. And then you have line 182 to down to 193 is all taken out. And that's why when they do these things, I don't understand why they don't have one copy of what's taken out and another copy the way it actually looks when it's done and passed. Then you got in line 203, except construction office trailers. And then there's a, go to 210. The perimeter enclosure of the walls shall consist of either masonry material, vinyl, or metal, or wood product. That's the skirting. Now, the thing of it is, if taken out, shall be approved by the director as durable and suitable exterior exposure. That line's taken out. But when you put these trailers in there, and that one item should be removed, which is not wood product, nobody in his right mind should put a skirting that's made of wood. Why? Because it's burnable. And if you have a grass fire or any other fire that's hot enough and it catches on fire, it can get in underneath the trailer. But if you either have plastic, it may melt. But in the meantime, it's not going to get underneath the trailer. But that wood sure is. And then you got in line D, including area bulk things. Then you go down to 245, manufactured home grant special use permit enactment. Down to D, it's actually all that is removed, and it says in AR and whatever, and GR. But in AR...
Is there some way you make that writing just a little bigger? Blow it up a little bit. My glasses not focused on good enough.
In AR, you've always been allowed to have a single wide in anything above 5 acres. And that then, when the Democrats changed it, you could only have double wides. Single wides then could only be used in a farm, and it had to be a farm. Nothing else. So I don't get where, then you go back to the, I think it's the last one. No, yeah, the last one is at 366. And it looks to me by doing this, 366 to the end is completely taken out. So the multi-section manufactured detached single family dwelling, individual lots of less than a half, no more than 3/4 acres, effective this date, that's all taken out. So it looks to me they've done shot themselves right in the foot by removing them lines when it should have stayed in there that it's going to be permitted. Sounds to me like it's not going to be permitted at all. So have at it.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this matter? Is there anyone else to speak on this matter? It may be appropriate for Ms. Cornwell.
So the first question regarding the otherwise not prohibited, that's regarding deed restrictions. The county can't enforce private deed restrictions, and that's what that referenced. So we took that out of the code because we technically don't have that authority.
But I guess one of his questions, can, with this change, somebody's got an AR1 lot,
mm-hmm.
of 3/4 acres in a development. It's got stick-built homes everywhere around there. Can they put a single wide in there?
So unless it has been approved.
And they don't have an HOA. It's just a development.
So the way it was written, it was that it was, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the way it was written, if it's not, if it's within a major subdivision that's created prior to the effective date of the original section, an AR1, they would not be able to. They'd be able to replace one that exists, but they wouldn't be able to put a new one in. And that was always in the code. The problem was it talked about, or if it was not specifically prohibited by a recorded covenant. So previously, it was prohibited in a major subdivision. That was the one prohibition. The second prohibition, or is if you weren't in a major subdivision and you had a set of restrictive covenants that prohibited mobile homes, you couldn't put it in. We got out of the prohibition of mobile homes by recorded covenants because, as Ms. Cornwell stated, we can't enforce them, and we don't know if they've been waived or not along the way by the property owner, so we wanted to take that out. The remainder of that is unchanged because it's been the way the code's always read.
So
in AR, not in some of the other districts.
In AR.
In AR, right.
We're not going to, there's no potential to end up with somebody has a lot in a development and come along and put a single wide trailer in there.
Well, they couldn't do a single wide and they could not do a double wide because single wides are not permitted in the AR1 zoning district. It would have to be a multi-sectional.
Okay.
And they would not be permitted within a subdivision.
Okay.
But you can put a double.
But if you have lots, which the county has a number of just lots out there.
Strip lots, whatever.
That would be permitted is to put the manufactured home on whatever size lot that currently exists, just not within a development.
Questions?
But the state, federal says.
Rules must have.
Federal law, I think, says that you can, put a mobile home in, on this, in this development. That doesn't look very good, because that's what, that's sort of what we got lawsuit about. In law, we didn't kind of vote against, we didn't think we were putting low income houses in that cross street from the guy had high priced homes built there. So the federal, I think the federal law came down, says you, I think the front federal came, across here about 3 or 4 years ago, I believe it did. You remember that, Gina or Robin?
I'm not familiar with that. I don't know, Mr. Moore, if you are.
I thought you knew that.
Yeah, sorry, I don't remember.
It was a Donna State land.
That's a whole different. Yeah, that, was, no, I know, I'm very familiar with that, and that was an entirely different issue.
Yeah. Any more questions, Mr. Wiley?
I mean, it sounds like if someone did a major subdivision going forward and forgot to put a deed restriction in there, that they, somebody could do a mobile home in there. So the only way it's regulated after the effective date of this ordinance would be by the deed restriction of the subdivision. Is that right?
But that's how that has currently been in effect. So as long as, anytime you had a major subdivision, if you wanted to allow a manufactured home, the current, the code currently allowed that. It was at the time it was amended, it was adopted, that you couldn't put it in the older subdivisions, but you could going forward because it was the subdivisions that existed prior to the date of that ordinance.
I think that's wrong somewhere about right.
So go ahead with, your.
I just want to be understood and make it, you know, I don't want someone to create a subdivision and forget to put a provision in there. But you know, saying that there are no mobile homes permitted, forgetting to do that, and then you know,
it's in the past, it's been one of those questions that's dealt with in the TAC reviews as well. That's reviewed, you know, when it comes to planning and zoning, if there's going to be restrictive covenants that allow manufactured housing in the development.
Yeah, because if you know, if you're putting a nice home in a subdivision, and you know, people start putting mobile homes in there. I mean, I'm all for this ordinance in principle, but we'll make sure the devil's in the details and we don't make mistakes.
Right, and that actually section of code is not changing. So that already.
What's it say today?
It says that the lot is not within a major subdivision created prior to the effective date of this section.
So from today.
Well, when this section was, originally drafted.
I got the same question, right? So I got to. I'm in a subdivision, and there's houses in it, and one catches fire. Can I roll in a double wide? If
yes.
I don't specifically have it written that I can't, if it's not in the approval from planning and zoning.
Depending on the date the subdivision was created, yes.
What is that date?
As of this, if adopted, it would go in, this would go into effect today. But there was, when it was originally adopted, it would have been from that effective date. And I'm trying to find it, and I can't
so I
quickly
we'd
find.
Have to go back and look at the code, the original history on that to find
I
out.
I can put a double wide there, so I got an approved subdivision. Mm-hmm. It's got
no covenants.
No covenants.
If it was, say, a 2018 subdivision, yes, because this code has been in effect for over a decade, at least.
So even though the in the planning and zoning's recommendation, they have so many homes, the HOA's got to be formed, and none of those languages have no mobile homes. So that opens the door for me now to run a mobile home in there?
Right, but that's been in effect since this ordinance was originally adopted.
From a practical standpoint, Mr. Burton, I don't know of any major subdivision that's not addressed in the covenants. Although we are not enforcing covenants, that doesn't mean that the property owner, the
right.
developer, can't enforce the private covenants. And I can't imagine that being a type of subdivision where someone would not address that. Now, where it may have been some of the extremely old subdivisions may not have addressed that because maybe they didn't have restrictions. But that would have to be some of the extremely old ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
You know, it's not something that you see currently.
And then do we see the draft of the covenants?
Council and the commission see the draft covenants at the time of a subdivision is reviewed for preliminary.
Okay. And if it's so stated, then it mm-hmm.
then it is in those covenants. Correct.
And moving this district, the price of lots would be too high. Most people wouldn't even want to go there anyway. They'd probably look for another place to go. They wouldn't want to move by Universburg because you have too high a price to play.
The main issue with putting that in brackets was we just, whether it's planning and zoning or the building code folks, are not in a position to research every property and see whether there's restrictive covenants. Like I said, we have no way of knowing whether those are legally enforceable or not, whether they've been waived over the years or whatever. And Sussex County, as Mr. Moore stated, has always been, you know, we're not the backstop for restrictive covenants. That's a private contractual matter among the property owners. So we wanted to make sure that that was clear in that section, because that's the only place in our code that talks about restrictive covenants being a part of our zoning code. So we wanted to take that out for consistency's sake.
But you do understand the question?
I do, yes. Yes. Yes.
Is that something that should be addressed, in your opinion, in some way?
That's less of a legal question, I suppose, and more of a policy one.
I mean, we haven't seen that happen in the subdivisions that have come forward. They're all typically stick-built because there is some type of deed restriction that the HOA is enforcing regarding whether or not a manufactured home can be placed within the development.
It's just, it's not come up unless somebody comes in with a development, or it might even be a GR one, I guess, but, you know, where mobile homes, that's what they're going to do, you know, from the get-go.
Yeah. The only time that we've seen this recently had nothing to do with mobile homes. There's been some recent rezonings where the issue of what the restrictive covenants said raised this issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of been our position that if we know about it, you know, we don't put something there if we know there's a restrictive covenant there. However, if we don't know, you know, we can't research every subdivision that comes up and every application. Mm-hmm. That's been the position in the past.
Well, no, I understand that. I just will make sure we're okay with not doing something that ends up doing something negative to somebody's property.
Correct.
And all of a sudden somebody rolls in with a double wide and everything around there is a great big home or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you're comfortable, then okay.
Yeah, and as I said, I'm not aware that that's ever been an issue.
Okay. Any more questions, council?
If not, we can close the public hearing.
This,
Before we go, that last point that Mr. Kramer raised on line 366, I mean, does he have a point there?
Yeah, 366 by the on the board here.
Again, the intent is to...
I can't do that. I can't drive that thing, Mr. Wilson. So.
Because currently says that a manufactured home used as a single family and originally placed and permitted on a property of 5 acres or more may be permitted on a property of less than 5 acres. What the code does is actually fixing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that section is no longer needed because the minimum lot size would be whatever the minimum lot size is.
If you have store, you can always go smaller. Nothing stops you from going.
Because that's really regarding lot size issues, and what we're trying to do with this amendment is to address the lot size issue.
So that just becomes an extraneous line.
Correct.
That needs to be there.
Correct.
Have more questions?
If you got central store, you can go down at least to a quarter acre if you want to, or less. Okay. But if it's but if you got more in no central store, you can also figure on 3/4 acre. At least 150 foot. Does our frontage say 150 foot has to be?
On a state maintained road is 150 feet.
Yeah, that's the old style, okay.
Any more questions of council?
I remember I was up here arguing one time about they wanted to move 300. I suspect dumb idea.
Are we hearing any more questions? We will close the public hearing.
And we do have an amendment. Yes. Just want to make sure.
We're going to close the public hearing. Okay, with council, close public comment, public hearing, and then we will let Mr. Moore read the short title, and then you would do your amendment.
Yes. Okay, the short title, an ordinance amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 4, 25, 26, and 27, all Roman numerals, by amending Sections 115-20, 115-23, 115-187, 115-196, and 115-210 regarding manufactured homes and manufactured housing.
Any proposed amendment or somebody does?
Yes. That would be it moved that Section 2 regarding Chapter 115, Article 4, Section 115-23C at line 160 be amended to delete, in quotations, number 4, convalescent homes, nursing homes for the aged, and renumbering the following subsections accordingly.
Pleasure, council, with the amendment.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions?
So what we're really changing up is, what we're really changing up is that you can put go 5 to 10 years or homes, old homes, right?
And the lot size.
And the replacements.
Yes.
That's our biggest change up.
And make it a lot smaller.
Yes.
And make it a lot smaller if we want to.
If they want to, yeah.
Okay.
Any questions on the amendment?
We'll take the vote.
We had a motion, you had a motion, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yes, she read the motion.
I'll take Member Wilson's question here. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Audu, yes. Now, Mr. Moore?
Yes. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 4, 25, 26, and 27, all Roman numerals, by amending Sections 115-20, 115-23, 115-187, 115-196, and 115-210 regarding manufactured homes and manufactured housing as amended by council.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next ordinance.
Thank you. Moore.
Yes, I believe Ms. Cornwell will give a presentation on that as well.
Yes, so thank you. The second ordinance is an amendment, again, regarding manufactured home type structures, but these used as construction trailers or model homes. Currently, the code requires those types of uses to require a special use exception to the Board of Adjustment. What we are trying to do is make that a permitted accessory use for a maximum of 1 year. However, if it's needed longer, then the director has the ability to extend that based on some uses and the need. So again, this is just reducing the need for a special use exception for construction trailers and manufactured home type structures used as construction trailers and manufactured home type structures used as model homes.
Thank you. I know you and I had a discussion months ago about people calling me complaining about this. It's a good idea.
Any
questions of council?
So the
question of council, Mr. Riley.
Yes. Thank you. They would be permitted to do 2 years, and then the director would have the ability to extend the time frame for a specified period of time or open-ended, or
it would be a specified period of time because we'd want to make sure it's tracked so when it does eventually get removed. So like we have some larger projects that are like 4 or 5 year builds, so we would work with them. It's like if they get 2 years, we'll give them another 2 years depending on what they will work with them to find the appropriate length of time that they need it for.
And keep in mind, too, with the, you know, subdivisions with the recent changes to the improvement requirements in Chapter 99, there's real coordination with planning and zoning and county engineering on phasing and closeout, so that would also play into
correct.
An extension. So, you know, there's coordination with that.
Any questions of council? Any more questions of council?
So what are you calling
Mr. Wilson?
What kind of home are you calling this?
It's a manufactured home type structure. That's what the code currently recognizes it as. And they're currently being used as model homes or construction trailers.
Okay. Our work move model homes too. Can't stay there.
Well, sometimes when, yes.
We got 2 years to get them out of there.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you say model homes, you mean mobile homes?
I thought it said model homes.
Sometimes they use it as a sale trailer for the, as the model home or the sales trailer for the sale of the homes, and then once they start moving the houses, then it's removed, or the construction trailers.
Any more questions?
So why do they have to move if they meet the requirements?
Because again, it's a temporary structure. It's not supposed to be permanent. You don't want a construction trailer within a single-family subdivision for a longer period of time. You just need it as long as you need the construction trailer, so then we can make sure when it's placed then it is removed.
It might be at least 3 years getting the place built.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So they got to keep coming back for extension.
It would be for permitted for 2 years, and they would come back and request an additional timing.
Would that give you another $500?
There would be no fee.
No fee? Okay.
Because again, there could be if they needed a permit or something, but this no longer, what this does is does not require a public hearing and a $400 fee.
The whole reason we're doing this is because the people have come to us who are in the construction business and say, why have I got to pay $400 and wait for a Board of Adjustment hearing to put a trailer on here with whole equipment to build this product with?
Okay.
So we're doing away with that. They walk in the door. And you're going to get a permit to put a construction trailer or a sales trailer.
And don't have to pay the $4.
No.
Correct.
Don't pay nothing.
Nothing. How are we going to keep the place going like that?
We'll struggle through it. We'll struggle through it, Sam. We'll struggle through it. Any more questions? Mr. Moore?
If not, is there anyone here that would like to comment on this? That's Mr. Kramer.
Yeah, well, my name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scottsdale Road. Actually, there is a $50 fee to start with, but that's not what I want to know here. And I'm not sure, I don't have a copy of this particular one. Is this the one where you're going to give her the right to allow where you can bring in a trailer? What is it called when somebody's sick or mother comes in for a temporary trailer?
No.
2 years. No. It's not in this one?
No.
No.
Absolutely not in it?
No, sir.
Okay, that's all I want to make sure.
It's a separate one.
Yes, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. Okay, with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore for the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 4, 5, 8, 10, 10A, 10B, 11B, 11C, 11D, 11E, 11F.
13.
Yes, 13. 14 and 15, all Roman numerals, by amending sections 115-21, 115-30, 115-54, 115-70, 115-75.3, 115-75.10, 115-83.12, 115-19, 115-83.27, 115-83.34, 115-83.41, 115-95, 115-103, 115-112, and table 4 Roman numerals regarding the use of manufactured home type structures as temporary buildings incidental to construction operations or the sale of lots.
That was a short title.
Yes.
That was a short one.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burden.
Thank
Second,
you.
Mr. Hudson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burden.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Ms. Cornwell, you're still.